Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says the unemployment rate in this country is currently sitting at 5.5%. That's half of what it was 6 years ago during the Great Recession, so we're doing pretty well now. There are jobs out there. You just have to get them. That's where Andrew Ledoux comes in. He's the Director of Career Services at Maria College in Albany. He has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to resumes, interviews, and marketing yourself to potential employers. Are you looking for a job, preparing for an interview? Need to update that resume? This is the time to call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But by all means, call if you wish. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Drew Ledoux, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's so great to be here.
It's nice. It's nice to have you here, and it's always a stressful time, whether you're just out there in the job market for the first time or you're changing gears and you've been in the job market and you've had a career and you're maybe changing careers. It's a very stressful time. So let's first take a hypothetical before we start taking calls. You're a college kid. You've got your paper. You have that diploma. You have a general idea of where you want to go with a career. What's the biggest mistake that first-time career job seeker makes?
I definitely find that students aren't taking the opportunities to network with those in the job market and in each of in their intended industries. Go out there, go to job fairs, and really make yourself known. They're saying now, depending on what studies you'll read, that more than 80% of our students or graduates finding jobs do so through networking.
Okay, so networking has changed quite a bit in 10, 20, even the last 5 years. What's that primary way that you network now? Social media?
I would say social media definitely plays a huge factor. They're saying now that LinkedIn and different social media sites such as that will not become one resume, but that is now definitely the primary way for a lot of students to network and to get their name and qualifications and credentials out there.
How much credence do big time employers give to, let's say, LinkedIn?
I think more, definitely more than what we would think.
Really,
LinkedIn is such a powerful tool that although it is in its earlier stages, but it's definitely developing as a tool for really anybody of any demographic to use.
We are joined today by Drew Ledoux. He's the Director of Career Services at Maria College in Albany. All right, now let's switch gears. Let's flip this on its head. You are 55 years old. You have been in a career for 20 years. You're switching careers. You're out of a job. This is one of those late 20th, early 21st century situations that drive some people to the edge. What do you do? And what's the worst thing you can do if you are looking now to start a new career and you have all this experience?
So those that have been in their fields for some time, seasoned professionals, they could often overwhelm hiring managers with the amount of content and details that they bring to the table in a resume or in a cover letter. It's really important to focus on key accomplishments and key responsibilities and goals from your years in a certain role. But you never want to overcompensate with what your experiences are and list every single detail and every single thing that's been part of your repertoire for a certain amount of years.
And that's a great question, because as you go along in a career, you have a list, and it's much more than one page.
Absolutely.
I've often heard, listen, if it can't fit on one page, don't put it on. But I feel you sell yourself well short.
You know, I totally agree. I think that resumes are they're definitely individual marketing tools. So if you do have experiences that lead you to go onto more than one page, certainly by all means take that route, take that approach, because you never want to undersell yourself and underrepresent your accomplishments.
So what do you do now as the Director of Career Services at Maria College? What sort of services are you providing?
So great question. What We have traditionally been a two-year institution. We have majors in nursing and health sciences. So a lot of our students, they have a general idea of the path they want to take post-graduation. But now that we've recently changed over our charter to a four-year institution, we're finding that there's more of a need to have career services like what we have to offer in helping to assess students' interest and helping with their resume and with their cover letter development, and connecting them with the community through certain network events that we have on campus, like career fairs or industry or field-specific events. Mm.
So when you assess one's, say, a student's possibility for success in a career, are you brutally honest, and will you shoot down a dream? And in other words, let's do a radio example. Say you're a kid, you just want to do radio really badly.
Right.
You don't speak well. You have adenoids. You sound terrible. What do you tell somebody like that?
Well, I think it's not as powerful to tell somebody what your thoughts are as is for them to experience it themselves. So somebody who is new to an industry or is really feeling out where they'd like to see themselves, it's important to connect them to maybe an internship or a cooperative learning opportunity. Get them kind of involved with that industry, say the radio. And I know that you mentioned that you've had interns here in the past as well. So I think that
interns here who have ended up years down the road coming back and working.
Wow, excellent.
Yeah.
But have you seen the other side of the spectrum?
In what way?
I guess interns.
Are you going to put me on the spot here? No, all the interns we have are just great. They're fantastic.
Well,
no, most of them are good.
For sure, absolutely. So I think it's really important that that you allow a student or a job seeker to experience the field for themselves. It's important to have a certain level of honesty. You never really want to crush their dreams, like you mentioned. But
well, I guess if you are tenacious enough, anything is possible. The number to call here, by the way, is 1-800-348-2551. If you're on the line, just hang in there. Just a few more questions here with Drew Ledoux, and then we'll get to your phone calls. Well, you know, we've seen people who come out of college, they had an idea what they want to do.
Right.
And so many kids, you're still a kid. I'm sorry, you're a kid at 22, 21,
right.
22. They completely end up in a different career. What's the percentage of those who are so focused that they end up in the career that you talk about in the course of your job? 20%, 30%?
You know, I wouldn't know the exact answer to that. I could certainly find out. But
ballpark it.
I would say maybe between 40 and 50%.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
And that's coming from the perspective of working at Maria College, given the fact that we have been so career-oriented in our mission.
Mm.
But nationwide, I would say maybe the same, about 40%.
Really? All right, well, let's go to the phones, and let's go to Dennis in New York State. Well, Dennis, you're on.
Oh, good heavens, that was quick. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
And I guess my questions are that I have a lot of degrees all over the place, and I have a lot of I'm spread out, so I feel like I've got a lot of broad interests, but I don't have a lot of in-depth in a particular field. I was in insurance claims for 15 years, and I was having more and more trouble as I got older. I'm about that age. I'm 56, so for me, it's making career changes and, I guess, learning how to focus on and being tenacious enough and understanding what I can be good at and figuring out a way to make it work in a world that's changing very quickly.
Boy, it sure is. What do you think, Drew?
So, Dennis, if I understand, are you looking to take your past experiences and apply them to maybe a new career or a new path for yourself? Or,
sure. Being that I've sort of like a lot of liberal arts background.
Absolutely.
And an arts background, so it's useful, but it's also hard to make it with those kinds of things. So
right.
I'm also trying to keep my skills fresh and relevant. And even though I'm working right now, I'm also on short-term disability and thinking, just sort of trying to figure out a way to make a decent living.
Right.
And also keep up with careers and goals and stay relevant.
Absolutely. this goes to you, Dennis, but to everybody really, to capitalize on your transferable skills, or what are often referred to as invisible assets, the soft skills that you can take from one industry or one career or one experience to another, and really honing in on those and developing those for your own use. So some examples of categories, I guess we could say, are your communication skills that you've had through your experiences, especially with a liberal arts background. Your interpersonal skills are so important. Leadership skills, employers and hiring managers, they're definitely looking at how you've taken initiative in your role or in your both professional and personal life as a leader. Analytical skills, organizational, technical skills, and personal qualities. I think that you can certainly apply different skill sets from each of these areas into really whatever career you're pursuing. I'd also like to say that in staying relevant with your interests in whatever fields that that you're pursuing, it's so important to get involved with local community partners and different associations and organizations. Volunteering, absolutely. Keep yourself fresh in whichever area you have interest in.
Dennis, thank you very much for the call. We are joined today by Drew Ledoux of Maria College in Albany. It's Career Day. We're talking about jobs, getting that first one, moving on to a new one. Getting your resume ready. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, a family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care, CECAA.com. The Whistling Kettle, tea shop and cafe in Boston Spa, celebrating the one-year anniversary of the cafe in downtown Troy, New York. Featuring a private room for parties and special events, thewhistlingkettle.com. And Great Barrington Rudolph Steiner School, presenting a puppet play for young children at Matrushka Toys and Gifts, Great Barrington, Saturday at 10:30 and 11:30 a.m., gbrss.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We talk careers today. We're joined by Drew Ledoux of Maria College in Albany, and you're the Director of Career Services. And I wonder, first of all, we know that confidence is king. It's so important in anything that you do. Can you coach it? Can you teach a kid to be confident?
You know, I really think that you can. Confidence is something that, although some may struggle in identifying kind of what their brand is, it's definitely something that can be practiced. Assessment is such a critical area when it comes to career guidance and career services. And assessment can really kind of vary in so many areas. So by getting up in the mirror every day, kind of seeing who you are and assessing yourself, see, am I ready to go to work, is super important. Use that time when you're looking in the mirror just to state what your personal brand is and kind of what you have to bring to the table. It sounds silly, but I think that confidence can certainly be developed over time through practicing on your own.
You mentioned that key word, the word that is bandied about all the time, your brand.
Yes.
So how do you take a kid who is 21 years old and say, you need to set your brand, man? How do you do it?
Right. Great question. So I think that in establishing one's brand, it's really important to, one, assess kind of where you are and identify the direction that you'd like to end up. So really focus on your key strengths and on what's gotten you to this point, to yourself at this point in your career. Explain kind of who you are and what you do, and your personal brand really becomes developed when you identify where your interests are and where you'd like to take yourself.
Don't you find, though, that you can coach a kid to the point of artificiality? I mean, isn't honesty still an important thing?
Honesty.
Truth.
Absolutely. Transparency, truth, honesty.
So how do you do that and maintain a brand?
That's a great question. I think that employers and hiring managers, they they recognize those that are new to an industry, new to a field. And I think that this is something that can be developed over time.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go over to Rick in Hudson. Rick's been waiting a long time. Rick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, man. You're on.
Well, I'm that 56-year-old fella you were talking about, and I have experience in two fields, the culinary and landscape arts. I would like to know what Mr. Ledoux's advice would be now that I pursue employment with an organization, be it a nonprofit or other type of organization, due mostly to a need for a safety net. And I find that my latter experience in the landscape arts, being entrepreneurial, is, in my opinion, intimidating to some people who are administering a nonprofit organization. They just feel that, I believe, someone with the entrepreneurial spirit does not fit into the framework of an organization that might be less willing to think out of the box and undertake work that is demands thinking out of the box and just a real demand-oriented person.
Okay, is there a question?
Well, yeah. So, how would he tackle this problem where the entrepreneurial spirit just doesn't seem to be surprised in an organization?
All right, Drew, what do you think?
So I think that it's really important to identify your skill sets that apply to your organization or to your field, and to tailor kind of your message and your delivery and your resume and your cover letter and in your brand to find that role.
Why do you want to go into nonprofit? Just wondering, Rick.
Well, it's an organizational aspect that I lacked in my own endeavors, and I find that when you're an entrepreneur, you have to do everything on your own. And I'd like to, frankly, join an organization where everyone has a purpose and.
So to be part of a team, not a one-man show.
Part of a team, exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
I think it's really important to set those institutions or organizations that you'd like to work for within your area. So if you were to identify nonprofits or not-for-profits within a communicable distance for you, and then instead of applying for a job through them, really try to take what positions they might have open and look at it through the lens of being a problem solver and bring to their table any maybe issues or anything that they've been that they may be facing, and how you can maybe help alleviate some of what they're going through. And I think that makes you look that much more marketable for these organizations.
Thanks, Rick. We appreciate the call. It would seem to me that if I were an employer for whatever team setting, whatever corporation, somebody who has done everything mm-hmm. could be both intimidating or a real huge asset. But there's a fine line. Can you come on too strong when you're looking for a job?
Absolutely. So our those out there that are most underemployed are those that are overqualified for positions.
Right, and that's a problem, especially as you get up in age.
For sure. So there are ways that you can almost work around this, even in just creating your resume. So if you're a master's level student who's applying for a clerical position, it is important that you do still list your most recent education on your resume. But maybe you don't want it to be as bold and in your face as some people often portray themselves. So they might have their name. So for instance, myself, I might have Drew Ledoux, and if I had an MBA, they might list that as tailoring their name or following their name in the top of their resume.
So are you saying that a secondary degree, a master's or even more than that, can be a hindrance and not a help when looking for work?
Almost, and you never want to think about it that way, but sometimes you might come across as being overqualified for a position. So and just really listing it, you can maybe start off with your bachelor's degree, and in another section of your resume, you can add in additional education or additional certifications.
All right, let's go to Joan in Lenox. Joan, you're on.
Hi, Hi. You've actually covered a bit of what I wanted to talk about. I have been self-employed for about 12 years, partly due to, you know, wanting to actually raise my son instead of having someone else raise him. And I find I'm ready, you know, I'm trying to re-enter the workforce. I'm finding that, I mean, I believe that my lack of success so far has been almost a prejudice against people who have been self-employed. And looking to you to, you know, confirm that and or give me some ideas as to how to present myself as, yeah, non-threatening to this person that's interviewing me.
Right. Unfortunately, there really is no cookie cutter answer for kind of tackling this question because, you know, it's something that we've a lot of us have experienced given for sure. So there are ways from my perspective, employers, they're not, you know, they're not allowed to use prejudices or any biases to kind of deter you from working for the organization, but it does seem to happen. Raising your son and I guess being self-employed, there are some great qualities that you can use to market yourself. I get this question all the time from our students. We have many non-traditional students that come back and they're returning learners, and they may have been home raising their families or their children. There are ways that you can almost incorporate some of these skills into selling yourself to organizations and employers.
Okay.
Thanks, Joan. Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined today by Drew Ledoux of Maria College in Albany. He's the Director of Career Services at Maria. We welcome your calls at 1-800-348-2551. Abigail in Kingston, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, Ray, for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to make a couple of statements. In the 19th century, the word career was synonymous with life. So that we look for careers without thinking that this is part of our lives
is
an interesting idea. The other thing that I have a little bit of difficulty with is the brand. It's too much, sounds too much like cattle and a herd. It really disturbs me a little bit. I am one of those old ladies in Alta Kaka, and I work all the time on my writing, but I can't get a job. So I don't know what to do. But anyway, thank you for the show, and I will hang up and listen.
Well, Abigail, you have such a great speaking voice. I'm thinking maybe radio for you.
I think that's a great idea.
Only problem is it doesn't pay very well, so, you know, probably
Peter
right.
Alan.
Thanks, Abigail. The connection is not too good there. But do you feel more optimism as far as the job market goes? We quoted the numbers at the beginning of the show. It says unemployment rate sitting at 5.5%. How much of that is real cause for optimism, and how much of that is people who just gave up looking for work? Does it feel better to you in the course of your daily duties as the career services director at Maria? Do you think things are getting better out there for the job seeker?
I do, especially for the program that you may be enrolled in, or from the expertise that you may have. A lot of our STEM positions and STEM jobs, the need for many of these roles is just going through the roof. I mean, location plays such a critical role in trying to find a job. So, for instance, those that are serving as LPNs or licensed practical nurses, there is such a need for them moving forward because they are the individuals that are they're taking care of our elderly, and as that population increases, overall, though, I do think that. There, depending on kind of your area and your interests, there are
So you're optimistic to some extent.
To some extent, absolutely.
All right, fair enough. A qualified yes. Let's go to Mike in Hudson. Mike, you're on.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Great. Hey, my question is this: I work here in Dutchess County and all over the state of New York. I do hazmat emergency spill response type work. What I want to do is transfer out to the West Coast.
Fantastic.
Somewhere because of family reasons. So my wife's family is out there, and it's just been too difficult. We seem to be living apart you know, 4 or 5 months out of the year. Any suggestions on the best way to find a similar job in a completely different side of the country?
For sure. So I think the one of the greatest resources for anybody, depending on which state they're in, is the Department of Labor. So if you were to go online and really find the location that you're looking for or that you're interested in your case, it would be the West Coast. There are state-specific resources for job seekers. For instance, there are for New York State here alone, one-stop career centers. There are so many locations, and they can provide resources and they can network. They can help you network with different individuals, maybe out there on the West Coast or depending on no matter which state you're in. So I would definitely recommend networking as much as you can with those that are over there and utilizing web resources to kind of navigate I guess that area of the country and. For positions that are out there.
So, Mike, you couldn't take the weather anymore and you had to get out?
I don't blame you.
No, I don't mind. I'm originally from Chicago. I love it here. But my wife's family's on the West Coast, and she has a business out there. So I have to, if I'm going to keep our family together, I got to do that because my daughter's getting to school age and we can't keep taking her out of school.
I hear you. Why don't you just get a job with your wife's job, your wife's business? Well, she won't hire you, though, will she?
Very funny.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck with your travels. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Otis in Waterford. Otis, you're up.
Yes. My wife went back to work after many years of caring for our kids, and she got into this retail position, and she's the sole operator of this chain, and then they got stores in other parts of the state. And this particular store was in the real doldrums, and she's brought it back to an incredible position in the area. And I was wondering how you would go about valuing what she's doing, because currently she's just getting paid by the hour.
Right.
And she clearly has turned this into something way more than what it was.
Absolutely. I think that anybody asking for a raise or for a promotion within their organization, it's something that's absolutely daunting, and it can be it can definitely be intimidating. I think the best way to move forward with this particular case is for her to, or for anybody to, think about the accomplishments that they've had within an organization and make sure that they can bring that to the table to their higher up. So any quantifiable achievements that they've had are really important in really selling your case. And
is timing an important thing when you're asking for a raise? Is there a bad time or a particularly good time to ask for a raise?
I would say asking for a raise, you'd probably want to do so right before budget season. I know that a lot of organizations, they have to prepare their budget, at least from the higher ed perspective. And if you can perhaps maybe allocate money in your budget for the next fiscal year, employers will definitely be more prone to maybe providing you with a raise or at least working into their budget for future planning.
Lotus?
Would she benefit from spending time with a gentleman such as yourself? And I mean, over the radio, obviously, you can't get all the details.
For sure. Absolutely. I totally agree. I alluded to the one-stop career centers earlier in the segment. I definitely recommend that in working with somebody, in working with maybe a performance coach or a career counselor or anybody in this field is definitely important because it gives them it gives the job seeker an objective point of view. Somebody by connecting with somebody who wouldn't have any biases or who might not know your wife already. I'm not sure if maybe if she was in school at one point, but often career service or career departments in higher education, they do offer their services usually free of charge to their alumni populations as well.
Okay, so that's a good way to go. Otis, thanks
Absolutely.
A lot, and good luck to you and your wife. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. So do you at Maria offer services to alumni?
We do. So all of the services that we offer to our current students, from resume and cover letter development to interview preparation to assessment tools, available to everybody. When you're an alum and when you've graduated from an institution, you're still a part of that that institution's community and organization.
So, is that a popular service? Do you see a lot of people coming back?
Absolutely. I really do think that we often, and career centers often serve as almost that beacon of I don't want to say beacon of hope because that's very pompous.
Well,
but
it's been bleak. the job right. market has been bleak
for
countrywide
sure.
for a long time.
For sure. So I definitely think that those that come back for the services usually do end up with good outcomes and good results. So I encourage anybody to connect with their alma mater and utilize their career office.
You mentioned a performance coach. What exactly is a performance coach?
So a performance coach is somebody that can help you, literally help you, coach you through the job search process or through various areas of life.
So in other words, a job coach might say, this is how you ask for a raise?
Yes.
So going in and smashing your fist down on the desk is not, that's my preferred way, and Alan right. doesn't seem to go for it. It's very odd. It's very odd. So that's not the way to do it. Let's take a break. Zach, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We talk careers today with Drew Ledoux of Maria College. More coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Snow Farm Summer, Williamsburg, Massachusetts. The New England Craft Program for students ages 13 through 18. Glass blowing, drawing, ceramics, and more. 2 or 4 weeks intensive instruction in July. Snowfarm.org for information. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And Omega Center for Sustainable Living, Rhinebeck, now accepting applications for its 4-week ecology program and permaculture design certificate, July 5th to 31st, eomega.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Drew Ledoux is the Director of Career Services at Maria College in Albany. We've had an interesting conversation with you at home and here in Studio A, and back to the phones we go. Carrie in Plainfield, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hey. I've got a question for your guest, and I was wondering how he feels towards a military veteran seeking a position, and if he feels there's any advantage being a veteran over non-veteran people seeking that particular job, seeing that they're all qualified for that job.
Absolutely. I think that there are so many advantages to a veteran entering the job market or re-entering the job market. Just the qualities and the attributes that you take from your service in any branch really can benefit you in your search. I mentioned the one-stop career centers earlier, but I know that there are great phenomenal career resources for individuals through the Department of Veteran Affairs, and I would definitely recommend that anybody who might be in your case or in your situation reach out to them and really try to take advantage of their career resources for you. But to answer your question, yes, I think that the skill sets and the qualities that veterans bring to the table are so tremendous and
character
so,
too.
Absolutely,
and the ability to go, here is the job at point B. You have to go from point A to point B. You have to get this job
right.
done. You can't underestimate that skill.
Absolutely. The analytical skills are just phenomenal when it comes to those that have had the vet experiences. So thank you for your service.
One more quick question, if you wouldn't mind. Yeah, I am a veteran, but it's been 45 years ago.
Right.
And I was just wondering if the VA still offers free tuition and, you know, for the veterans, for educational benefits like they used to?
For sure. I believe they do have continuing ed benefits for vets, but that's something that you would definitely want to clarify and confirm with them.
Carrie, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. We're joined today by Drew Ledoux of Maria College. Here's one that came in via email. It starts out, predictably, good afternoon. In the old days, we would apply for jobs by sending a resume and a cover letter through the mail. Now many people are applying for jobs through apps on their cell phones. What are the adjustments that older job seekers need to make in order to apply using today's technology?
Great question. So I think that modern technologies are definitely making the job search process more robust. But there certainly are, there is value to the traditional job seeking methodologies. So in getting your resume printed on nice paper, for instance, and mailing that out is important. But so often these apps and these online applications, a lot of these resumes and cover letters are going through automated tracking systems or ATSs, and they're really being used to identify prospective candidates because these systems can literally take apart your resume and any documents that you send their way, and they can pull out the words that most apply to
the
job that you're applying to.
There's not even a real person looking at them.
A lot of times, no. The real eyes are hitting many of these applications.
See, I would think the advantage would be then the old school way of surface mail. At least somebody has to look at it. A person has to look at it.
For sure. And I guess depending on the organization is you'd really have to learn kind of what their methodology for resume review would be. I guess my only fear would be that those that do send resumes via mail, that they might get tossed or chucked if that's not the route that they take.
But by the same token, if you put an electronic resume in, you have no, you don't know if anyone is seeing it or where it's going at that point. It's just in the ether.
It's in a black hole. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that it's definitely important to tailor your resume to meet the needs of a lot of these positions or whatnot.
All right, let's go to John in Poughkeepsie. John, you're on.
Hey, how are you today?
Good.
Hey, John.
Good. Hey, I've got a daughter getting ready to apply for a job, graduating from college, and I've been hearing all the news about women not making as much as men. So what is the best advice I can give her when she goes to these interviews so that she can negotiate equally or as high as she can as a woman, a young woman?
Absolutely. So I think the number one my number one piece of advice is to stay motivated throughout the job search process. I know that it can often be intimidating and daunting, but just for her to go through her process in good spirits, and graduates these days are a lot of times you do have to start at almost the lower end of the spectrum. In graduating, it doesn't always mean that you're going to find a position at the top of the totem pole. So, and really starting and then working your way up through an organization with regard to finding the position that she's really seeking. Salary-wise, I don't think that it's really not something that you'd want to bring up, at least in the first stage of your interview process. It's something that can be discussed once you already have your foot in the door.
Is there a danger of graduates today being too picky and not willing to start low enough?
For sure. Absolutely. The danger, one, I just don't think that the graduates can really get a true feel for an organization by jumping into or by expecting to jump into a higher position. By working up, you're really getting your hands dirty, and you're getting connected as much as possible to your employer, to your organization, and working your way up, I think, is so important because you're making these great connections that can really lead to more options in the future for
hey,
you.
Hey, John, congratulations on the coming graduation.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Andrew Ledoux of Maria College. Ashley in Pittsfield. Ashley, you're on.
Hi, my question would be regarding, I have an in-person interview scheduled soon for a nonprofit organization, and it's for a job that I haven't pursued before, but it's related to my background. I have a background in environmental education, but I've been working in the service industry for a long time at restaurants and on whale watch boats and things like that. So this would be a job that would kind of combine both experiences, but I don't necessarily feel I know how to combine the experiences to show that I can be, you know, a manager of volunteers. I have a lot of volunteer experience. I guess it's just like best how to present your past experiences that aren't directly related and how to go about, you know, balancing that completely so that you look qualified for a job. And I guess my second part of that question would be, I applied for the job that is three different positions, and I applied for the region out here in the West area, but maybe moving back to the East, and it's something I want to address in the interview and maybe try to switch over to applying for the Eastern region, because just based on some life situations, I might be moving back to the East Coast, and I was wondering how to approach that in an interview.
Hmm.
Absolutely. So I think in hitting on your first question, really applying what you've taken from previous positions in the service industry to a current role, really, I think the number one step has to be in looking at the positions that you're applying to in this new field or new area for you, and trying to match up what those requirements are called or what those requirements or expectations of that role are to what you've experienced in service. And by highlighting on those transferable skills, I think that'll definitely make you more marketable for the role that you're seeking. And for your second question, can you repeat that for the listeners?
Yeah, so my second part of the question would be that I currently moved to Western Mass and applied for the job that is in Western Mass. It's a three-part position, and one of the positions would be in Eastern Massachusetts, and just based on some life situations, I may be needing to move back to the East Coast, and I know that there is a position available there as well, but for my interview, I'm interviewing for the Western region, so I'm wondering if there's a way in the interview to address that. And maybe, you know, show that I'm still very interested in this company. It's a company I've wanted to work for a long time. And, you know, right. I'd still be really interested in the position, but now it might be for a different location that I hadn't initially applied for. How to kind of go about doing that in in-person interview.
Right, for sure. Well, I guess, first of all, congratulations on making it this far and getting that interview. I think once you get your foot in the door and you are connected with those within the organization, it's definitely appropriate to talk about future goals and aspirations of maybe relocating and seeing what opportunities are available out here. And it sounds like that there are. So I think that in just being transparent with them, once I guess the ball gets rolling a bit more and that you're actually within the organization, you never know, they could be very receptive to it, and they may find kind of what you've brought to the table to be so valuable that they do want you to, that they wouldn't, I guess, support you relocating.
Ashley, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Landon in Milford, Pennsylvania. How's the weather in Milford today, Landon?
It's getting warmer.
Good. Well, it's chilly, yeah, chilly here in Albany, I'll tell you that. You're
yeah,
on.
This morning it was like 20-something. It was pretty bad. Good afternoon, guys. I'm 30 years old. I'm currently a materials lab technician in the Orange County, New York area. A little while back, a couple of years, the company's been a little strange. So I was a little proactive, and I went out and took a civil services test specifically geared toward materials lab. Now, there was a few positions available at the time, and assuming that these tests are based on a 100% scale, I'm going to have to go and say I did very well. This was
great.
3 months ago. I haven't received any phone calls. Am I supposed to be proactive when I take a civil service test? Am I supposed to call back, do anything? I went to a career link center in Scranton,
okay,
Pennsylvania. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that that by taking the civil service exam and by applying for different roles through that route, it may be more of a lengthy process, only because there are so many individuals who are doing the same. I think that by being proactive, you're really making the right moves, and really just trying to connect yourself with anybody within the organizations that you're interested in is so important. And I think that'll give you better luck too as you move forward with your search.
Can Landon expect to get his results at some point?
Oh, for sure. I'm just
definitely
not.
I'm sorry. I did receive my results, and like I said, I scored well, so I know that, you know. Like I said, assuming it's on a 100-point scale,
right.
I'm going to say I did well. So I received my results shortly after taking the test, maybe a month after, early February.
Mm-hmm.
And we're moving into April now, and I haven't heard anything, maybe even just a confirmation. So I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be more proactive as far as, like, calling them or whatever. But speaking of that, you mentioned something, good point. You said about networking, things like that. In my particular field, it would be I've been with the company now for 8 years. It would just be wrong to go and speak to other companies when I'm still employed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Related companies, and there's a lot of competition and things like that.
Makes great sense.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't want to jump the gun, and I also don't want to be left in the cold when I'm the last one left and everybody else got the good jobs, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense.
So I want to be proactive, but I don't want to be a traitor.
Right.
I don't want to burn a bridge.
Isn't that where LinkedIn could be very effective? Because essentially you are passively connecting to people who may or may not be your competition, all people perhaps in the same field.
Absolutely.
And
right.
you've got a connection there without actually reaching out and having conversations. Isn't that a possibility?
Absolutely. I think that, yeah, it is kind of a tricky situation that you're in because you don't want to seem unloyal to your organization. But
absolutely.
I guess LinkedIn is definitely a great route for you to get connected with other people, as Ray mentioned. But are there any even conferences related to, I guess, your industry?
As far as
or associations?
I mean, you mean like career job fairs, things like that related to, I mean.
For sure.
For Materials Lab, I mean, I would assume so. I'm not part of LinkedIn, which is something, right, I've been thinking about, but I always, in the past, have worried about that. That would be something that, like, my job or might look into to see how their employees are, you know, feeling in their position, perhaps.
Right, absolutely. I think that was a great suggestion, and I would definitely dive into creating an online profile like that, really taking what you have in your resume and all of your qualifications and putting it into this electronic format, and you will have the opportunity to network with those by interest and by field, and those who have kind of been in their roles for some time now and can get connected with your organization. So I would definitely try to dive a bit more into the electronic resources that are made available to you.
Landon, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Zach in Albany. Zach, you're on.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Oh, great. Okay. So I have a quick question. I have been with my current employer for less than a year, and when I started, the job was much different than it is now. So I've been thinking about maybe making a move, but I've been in administration for a while, and when I see other resumes come in, and I see people who, you know, see a lot of movement on their resume, it, you know, raises cause for concern. So I was wondering, you know, should I stay? Should I go? Should I hold off?
Right. Now, you never want to stay in a role that isn't, that I guess isn't making you feel that you're contributing your all. So I think that it is important that if you know that you're not connected to an organization the way that you thought you might at once be, it is important to really dive into the job search process again and maybe identify different employers that could be maybe that might fall a bit more up your alley. I would support anybody really finding themselves or getting themselves out of a role that maybe not be the best fit for them.
Well, I mean, you can be in a job that is not the best fit, but if food is on the table and those around you don't have food on the table, there have to be practical reasons to do things as well,
sure,
right? I mean, you should stay in a job until you get a new job.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
All right, let's
absolutely
go to Solveig. I believe I have that right in Binghamton. You're on. Hello?
Hello.
You're on.
Thank you. It's funny. I was just sitting here actually doing my job search. I was recently fired in essentially retaliation for criticizing my boss's management decisions, most importantly, neglecting worker safety. I'm just wondering if you have any advice about whether to deal with that up front, like in a cover letter, or just
this is a fantastic question. This is a
comes up in an interview.
All right, yeah. We only have about a minute and a half here, but
okay,
go ahead. This is a good one.
Absolutely. So I think that for you to tackle this situation would be maybe you don't want to incorporate this in one of your first encounters with the employer.
But then are you hiding it? If you have been terminated from a position, don't you have to tell your future employers that?
I think that it is important to tell them, but not you don't want that to be your first impression. I think first impressions are key when it comes to applying for the job search. And
so how does she go about it? What's the angle?
Could you highlight on maybe any of your responsibilities and your achievements from that current role or from that previous role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was working in the home performance industry.
Okay.
So dealing with not only the building science but New York State regulations around home energy efficiency, I have a great skill set. I'm very employable.
Right.
I was proud of my work, and you know, I had actually just gotten a raise, so. Yeah, there's nothing about my job that I was doing that I am ashamed of.
Right.
You know, it's just that sometimes if you have a reputation as like a whistleblower, people
for sure
don't.
So
yeah.
I guess my answer would be to yes, include it,
okay,
you don't have to necessarily include why you left that position or the fact that you might have been let go or whichever.
All right, we're out of time, but thank you very much for a very interesting question, and thanks to everybody who called in today. Well, Drew Ledoux, what do you think? Did you have fun?
I had a blast. I think that it was a great opportunity.
Well,
thank
nice
you so
to
much
have
for
you here, and good luck to your endeavors at the career department at Maria College. Support for WAMC comes from Ashokan Center, a classroom in the wild offering environmental outdoor education and living history programs for schools, ashokancenter.org. Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting the Rock the Ridge 50-Mile Challenge for runners, walkers, hikers on May 2nd, sponsored by I Love New York and Ulster County Alive, mohonkpreserve.org for registration. And Stewart Shops, we are closer to you, a family and employee-owned business. Thanks again for joining us today. Interesting program, some great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, I am told... we're going traveling. Stay tuned now for a news update.